Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
And so I want you to quickly, if you can, turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, just continuing the series Back to Basics. The reason why I'm talking about going back to basics is because I feel that COVID has somehow got us out of sync. Right? COVID has gotten us out of sync. I actually talked to my wife about doing a sermon, seeing if I could get a cot or a bed up here, and doing a sermon from the bed. Some of you know what I'm doing. Just be in the covers all through service, and then just preach wrapped up in a blanket. Because some of us, we've forgotten even how to worship because we've been worshiping laying down wrapped up in a blanket with our head on the pillow. You know, we've been faking it on Zoom, right? We come with a nice top, we have pajama pants on, right? Like, COVID has messed us up, so we don't even know how to do church anymore. That's why it's hard when you come into worship. You're not sure what to do because you're just so used to cooking while doing worship. You're used to vacuuming while doing worship. You're used to driving while doing worship. There's all these other distractions that you can do. So COVID has gotten us out of sync. Okay, God kept saying to me, we need to go back to basics here. We need to go back to basics. We're used to just spectating. And God was saying, no one put your gifts on hold. No one put your gifts on hold. God didn't say, hey, because of COVID, let's just put them to rest here. No, that's not what the Bible says. These gifts have been given to us for the body of Christ. And so this is to reactivate you back into service, back into ministry. And that doesn't even only apply to those that are here that go to Dayspring. If you were attending another church and you've been spectating, then shame on you. And you thought you're coming for a nice service, but Pastor Wayne's about to give it to you. If you're attending another church and all you've been doing is spectating and watching others do the work and others get busy and serving, and you haven't been doing anything, then shame on you, because the Bible says you're a contradiction. Because those who are believers are also those that are serving. And the body of Christ is made up with all of us who are believers. That's what the body of Christ is made up of. And if we're all believers, we're all part of the body, then we all have a particular duty, as we're going to see in the scriptures. And I'm not going to go into the gifts, but this is to reactivate you, for you to be thinking, what has God gifted you to do? How has he blessed you? Some of you should be up here speaking. But COVID has you looking at a screen. COVID has you sitting there with your hands folded. And that's not what the gospel is about. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. God has gifted you to be able to serve in the body of Christ. Amen? So look at the person beside you and tell them, get off of your butt. You never thought you'd say that in church, but tell them again. You've been waiting all your whole life to be able to say that. Look at them. Get off of your butt. It's time to be active. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3-8 says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. He says, do not think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, that's in God's grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, Be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Praise God for his word. Now, we're all, as humans, we're trying to identify with a group. We not only identify with a family, but we identify with a college, university. Some of us identify with the gym that we go to. Some of us identify with the type of phone that we use. And we're always trying to belong. We're always trying to connect ourselves to some type of group, to some type of hobby, some type of people that have the same common interests as we do. And that just reveals the fact that we're looking to belong somewhere. We're looking to belong, we're looking to be connected. And so we look for this fellowship, we look for this interaction, and we long to have that type of a connection. Just like, I'm not sure if you watched the show Cheers years ago, where you walk in and it's, everybody knows your name. Right? That should be church, where you walk in and everybody knows your name. Maybe the first day they have a childhood, but when you come back, everyone should know your name. I remember someone who came to our church and I asked them as a pastor to come and to evaluate our church, you know, from the parking lot coming in. We were at the school, tell what you experienced. And after I met with him, he says, I just couldn't believe it. The same lady who greeted me and asked my name at the front door when I was leaving, said goodbye to me using my name. And I thought, wow, he's like, that was just amazing. I haven't gone through that before. And I thought, my goodness, I'm terrible with names. God put the right person at the door to remember names. So but the ultimate membership, the ultimate fellowship, the ultimate group that we can be in is the body of Christ. The ultimate group, the ultimate fellowship, the ultimate connection, interaction is in the body of Christ. And I notice I didn't say it's joining the church. It's not joining a church, it's joining in the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to know this morning is that the church is not a building. It's not a building. We talk about church. It's not about being part of this building. And I know as a church we're looking to have our own space. And yes, that's important. But that does not make up the church. The church is the people. Look around you. That is what the Bible calls a church. Those who made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And rather than people just going to a building and therefore declaring that they're Christians, he says, no, it's those who made the decision for me. To follow me. I always like it as a pastor when I'm at the grocery store or someplace and I see someone who hasn't been in church for a while. Right? I say, how are you doing? And they always start, oh, pastor, I'm coming to church soon. I say, oh, you're not. Don't say that because you see me. Or I say, which church are you going to? Oh, yeah, it's like, you know, at the corner. I'm like, yeah, I can't remember the name. Like, what's the pastor's name? I don't know, we call him pastor. Like, you don't go to church. You don't go to church. But going to church does not make you part of the body of Christ. It's to help you grow as a believer. But when you make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you automatically become part of the body of Christ. You automatically. So the church is not a building. The church is not the building. The people in the church, they make up the church, because there are countries around this world where they're not allowed to have church, but church is carrying on without a building. The apostles, after the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were meeting in homes because the Jews didn't want them in the synagogue. So they made homes, and they broke bread in homes, and they fellowshiped in homes. And church was happening in homes than it was happening in a building. And so in the Western culture, we have this misunderstanding of church being this building, and it's all about the building, and it's all about the building, and we lose sight of the fact that the church is the people that we have around us, and the gifts of God can operate in the people around us compared to only happening in here. And if we limit serving God and operating the gifts so only when we come around the four walls and we missed it. Notice the disciples, the Bible says after they had that experience in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell, and people around them who heard them speak in their known tongue. Notice the Bible doesn't describe the disciples going back into the upper room to get another experience, going back in the upper room to have this kumbaya moment. No, the church began, and they began to take it to the streets. They began to take it to workplaces. They began to take it to the neighborhoods. And the gifts of God began to flow in them wherever they were, and it was not limited to a building. The other thing we have to know is that as a church, we belong to each other. Paul says, we belong to each other. Look at the person beside you. Tell them, you belong to me. You know, some of you couldn't wait to say this. You belong to me. Yeah, maybe it's the person you're dating, you're hoping to marry. Like, be careful how you say that, how much authority you use. But you belong to me. Paul was saying, hey, don't exaggerate when you look at your own self to think that you're better than someone else. He says, don't over-exaggerate it. Like, don't put yourself better than other people. You're not better than other people. And also, don't exaggerate your humility to think that you're no good and you're this lowly little humble worm and the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus passes you by all the time. No, no, that's also false humility. So Paul's saying, hey, be careful of the false humility, but also be careful of the pride. Right? Don't think yourself better than other people. And so he talks about how, you know, the different parts of the body, one part can't say to the other part, I don't need you. I'm more important to you. In other words, your pinky finger cannot tell your foot that it's better than your foot at walking. Can you imagine your pinky all of a sudden talking to you one day and saying, look, put me down there. I'll leave you the right one. Put me down. Bible says, look, you're not better than the other person. We belong to each other just as we're members of a body that belong, that are connected to one another, our hands, our head, our feet, our chest, our toes, our knees. He said the same way it is within the body of Christ, and we belong to each other, and we're responsible for each other. In the ministry that we do, we're responsible for the other person. That's what I'm saying. To say that you're a believer and you're not serving someone else, you're a fraud.
I like to say that. I just called you a fraud.
You're a fraud! You're pretending! You're acting! You should be serving other people. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be limited to the things that are in place within the body of Christ. When you go into a church and they have these lists of ministries, the guys tell you to call someone, then call the person. It doesn't have to line up with the gifts that are there. God is speaking to you about something, then you start it, and you go ahead, you're led by the Spirit of God to serve, to be generous, to give, to belong to each other. Just as our bodies are connected, we're connected to each other. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that when one hurts, the other should hurt. So if one is hurting and you're not hurting, something's wrong. If there's something to rejoice in someone else and you're not rejoicing, then something's wrong. You got to fix your attitude. Because you're in competition. You're thinking that you're better. You're thinking you deserve it more than they, right? They got the promotion, you did it, now you're angry with God, and you're angry with them. You don't want to hear their testimony. Because you prayed for it, you didn't get it, and then now you're upset and you're angry. Or they got blessed, or they got the healing, you did it. Now you're upset and angry. He says, no, you should be rejoicing with them. That rejoicing releases it in your own self to experience. Then it is not talking to them and avoiding them because they seem to be blessed. But don't those blessed people just irritate you? Don't they just irritate you sometimes? Because they're blessed all the time? Like really, all the time? Like all the time they're blessed. Like every time you talk to them, they're just happy and joyful, and the blessed and highly favored. They have all those Christian phrases, and they just seem happy all the time. Like really, all the time. I don't even know if that's possible. But your Bible says you're supposed to rejoice with them, be happy with them. front of their face. at least rejoice with them that they know they're rejoicing with them. But the Bible says we're connected to one another, and if we're connected, then we're responsible to serve. I'm responsible to check up on you. I'm responsible to pray for you. I'm responsible to maintain that Christian fellowship with you. I'm responsible to be served by you, but also to serve you. That's my responsibility as a believer. And no one is excused. I looked in the scripture to see where it said, as it pertained to the body of Christ and serving, where you're allowed to take a break. I really looked for it. I looked to see where the disciples said, hey, we're going to take some time off. We looked to see where they said, yeah, I'm kind of done with this ministry of preaching the gospel. We're just going to take some time. No, they never found it. That's why when we determine we're going to pull back as ministers or pull back as believers, that God still sends them to us. You ever notice that? When you think, I just need a break. I just need a vacation. All of a sudden they come. You're on vacation. Someone else starts talking to you about who you are. You have a believer. And they ask you to pray for them because we can't run from it. We can't. And I know we need a break. And I know there's time for fatigue. And we need to pull back in order to be renewed and strengthened to come back. But even in those times, you find that God still uses us. Why? Because we belong to each other. And sometimes we notice even in those points, those times, in those seasons, God sends the believers around us to minister to us, to bless us, to pray for us. When we're so weak to pray for ourselves, He sends those who are going to encourage us because we're connected to each other. And lastly, in the church, we have different gifts. The Bible says in His grace, in God's grace, He gave us different gifts was do certain things well. In other words, God has gifted you to do certain things well, certain things that I can't even do. I know we think that pastors can do everything, but we can't. Believe me, we can't. I'm not good at hospitality. I'm a bit better than I used to be, but I'm not good at hospitality. You will sit there and die of thirst before I think I should offer you water. It's not my gift. My wife has that gift. She will offer you water and she'll make you cookies and make you supper. Some of you have that gift. I have to work on that gift. I have to take hints. So even the board knows the time of the board used to meet at my house and they sit there and my wife would come out with cookies or fruit or something and they would all, you know, get on me because I didn't offer them anything. I say, guys, it's not my gift. Since you do certain things, you do them well. I don't. If I remember now, am I responsible? Yeah, I'm still responsible to work on that gift. But He says, He has given you the grace according to the grace that He has given you. In other words, you have a particular ability that God has given you to do with the amount of grace that He's given you to do it. With the amount of grace He's given you, the ability He's given you, the gift He's given you, He's given you a certain amount in order to do what He's calling you to do. In other words, you can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do. And I can get by, but I can't do it well. I can't do well. Some people think I'm such a good counselor. I'm not a good counselor. I just don't interrupt people. I just let them talk. I just try to figure out what's happening here and ask them, God, help me. And sometimes I'm with my wife, and as the person's talking, I'm thinking, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And then she comes out with something to say, and I'm like, man, that's so brilliant. That's so wonderful. Like, man, I feel like I'm in the counseling session myself based on what she said. But certain people do things well. Some of you cook well. Some of you encourage well. Some of you pray well. Some of you give service well. Some of you organize things well. That's your gift, that God's given you the amount of ability in order to do that well. And to do what He's called you to do well. Not for you to envy what I do, and not for me to envy what you do, but for you to do you well, and for me to do me well, because we're both accountable to God, and we both get blessed when we do each other our own gifts well. Do it well, so there's no spectators. If God has given us gifts within the kingdom of God, there's no one in the body of Christ who does not have a gift. There's no one in the body of Christ who doesn't have a gift. Your gift may be in front of people. Your gift may be behind the scenes. How many people have shoes on right now? Your toes are behind the scenes right now. Go ahead and wiggle them. Doesn't have to be seen, and some of us don't even want them to be seen. Meanwhile, I was getting a pedicure with my wife, and you know, you're so used to seeing nail polish on toes that you don't really think of the process of them taking it off nail polish to put new nail polish on. And I was beside this lady who was getting her toes done. I looked over when they took the nail polish off, and I thought, oh my goodness, like, I'm going to put me in shopping. Get it painted right away. Painted right away. Like, we don't know. That's a hidden ministry right there. That's a hidden ministry. You put them in public, people just can react. No, that's a hidden ministry. God has blessed some of you to be behind the scenes. He's giving you the personality that's behind the scenes because you don't want the stage. You don't want it to be seen. You just want to do it. You don't want anyone to talk about you. Some of you, you love the stage. And it's not a matter of pride. It's how God has gifted you. You know how to carry yourself in front of people. You know how to speak well in front of people. You're not afraid of their faces. God has given you and gifted you that way. And the body of Christ needs both. It needs the hands that are in front, but it needs the toes that are behind the scenes. It needs both. And so we're gifted, and we have gifts. And so next week, I'm going to go into these gifts. But the question I need you to ask yourself this week is, are you using your gifts? Wherever you attend church, whatever you do, are you using your gifts? I know what COVID has done. It's gotten us used to the fact that, no, we don't have to do that anymore. It's now the people's job who shows up to do it. But that's not the case. He still gifted you within the body of Christ to be used wherever he's planted you. So let's pray. As we pray, I just want you to be asking the Lord, Lord, renew my gift. If you don't know what it is, we will help you find what it is. We'll help you discern what it is. But God has gifted you. And if you have yet to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is speaking to you now. He's calling you into the kingdom of God. Because there's work that he has for you to do. He's trying to get your attention. He's waiting for you to surrender. And so he comes again, and he knocks on the door. The Bible says he knocks. And your heart says, let me in. He says, if you will let him in, he's going to come in and fellowship with you. He's going to give you the new life that he promised. He's going to use you beyond your wildest dreams as you submit to him. Father, we just pray as we close this service that you remind every believer in this room that you